Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
My favorite commercial, other than the one that I do. Anyways, welcome everybody. This is StarsCast, also known as Natalie. I want to tell you, I'm sending out reminders for Mystic Living today about excerpts, poetry, my regulars, but you're welcome to send me something to StarsCast, StarsCast, at mysticlivingtoday.com. It can be poetry, excerpts, articles, just about anything you want. I mean, and it doesn't have to be metaphysical. Sometimes I put something in about my wildlife photographer, Billy Dodson. I'll do a thing on that. And then I have Ellen, who does a column on her painting and her art. So you see, it's a wide variety. And I never get anything that's not good stuff. I've never had to refuse anything. So I'm very lucky right there. So I'm sending those out. Well, I did a bunch of them yesterday, and I'm getting stuff in, of course, and new stuff. And then I want to talk about stars with the ZPsychics.com. We're in the process of redoing the site. Everybody knows I've had this color arrangement for quite a while now. We did freshen it up a while ago, but we felt it was time, to do some different things. We're going to have a mobile app that you can download, and you'll be able to do that, and some bells and whistles, and the color scheme. Well, I'm working with Tony and this gal named Judy, and, I just want it kind of a little turquoise, a little green, picture of the earth. Judy did a great one for us, and so I'm probably going to use that. Oh, it's just beautiful, I'm going to tell you. And then a place for Natalie's notes and Reader of the Month. And, once you let me go, I have all kinds of ideas. So there's no stopping me. It's going to be kind of like, uh-oh. Tony says, uh-oh, I've got a lot of work cut out for me. Yes, you do. And I don't like everything he does. And believe it or not, I'll say, no, I don't like that. And he'll say, well, why? And I said, well, sit down, and I'm going to tell you why. I have my own vision, and I feel that the site should be, because it's stars, it should represent the universe as a whole. We should have things there that people can participate in. There'll be the horoscopes there, but there'll be some new things, and that's what I'm happy about, just to change it. So I'll let you know, we're going to do a couple of press releases, and I'll let you know. Candy will run it out there, Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest, and, Judy will do Pinterest and Instagram, so you'll know when it's ready to go. But anyways, without further ado, I have a gentleman here with me that has covered an area that everybody should listen to, especially what's going on now and timing is everything. So I'm going to bring on Robert Allen. How are you? How are you tonight, Robert? Good?
I am doing absolutely well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, are you kidding? So you wrote, first of all, you are the founder and CEO of New Dimensions Consulting. Now, tell the audience what that's about.
So New Dimensions Consulting Services, LLC, is a consulting firm, and we work with everything from business 101 tips in helping businesses become more profitable all the way to retreats and doing trainings for people in various areas. So R.W. Allen Books is the curriculum side, and New Dimensions Consulting Services is the training side.
Ah, okay. But you wrote something some great, at the right moment in time, just in January this all came out, he wrote a book. Now, it's called, the first one was The Journal, I believe, correct? No, the first one was the book. First one was Self-Care, Let's Start the Conversation. That came out on January 29th, and then the Self-Care, the 12-week journal, was on January 30th. Now, you know, just the title alone, Self-Care. We need to take care of ourselves here, you know. But it's not that simple. As you know, Robert, a lot of people are struggling. I had a period in time when, I'm intelligent, so I think things through, and I try to do that. But there were times when I was bothered by what was going on in the world, and I think it was affecting me. I was stressing out, health-wise and all that kind of stuff. But tell us what this is all about. And I have some questions. I have them all here in front of me to ask you, so you're going to love this. And
well,
it's not a class where you're going to get a grade on it, so don't worry about it.
Oh, not a problem. Oh, well, we can jump right into the questions if you're ready. I said, you ready to jump right into the questions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can do that. Let's start with that. Okay. What is self-care?
So self-care, the way that I define it in the book, in which I redefine what self-care is, self-care is whatever a person needs to fill their cup in their most needful space, which simply transcends, says that self-care is progressive. It's not a one-shot or one thing fits all. Self-care is progressive. What works in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s may not work in other spaces in your life.
Exactly. Exactly. So when you need to step back and do some self-care, what is probably happening to you? What's going on with you? Are you falling apart? Are things they're not like connecting? For me, it means just taking care of yourself, quote unquote, self, not anybody else, but self, right?
Right. And so that's why when I go to the definition, it's whatever you need to fill your most needful space, whatever it takes to fill your cup. And so that's going to be different for everybody. It definitely is depending on where they are in their life. So, again, you may have someone who was taking care of elderly parents. What they need is going to be quite different. Someone who gets married, your self-care when you were single may be different when you're married, because things change, and what you need will change in time. And so self-care, again, is progressive. And so if I can share with anyone, understanding that self-care is progressive and not to get stuck in doing the same rudimentary thing that you've done that no longer works, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I had a husband when he passed that had Alzheimer's.
Okay.
So it was all about him.
Yes.
I kept him home, and you can relate to that because of the work that you do. So after that happened, I was in a weird state, you know. I didn't have to take care of him. I had to take care of myself. But you know what happened to me, and this is probably something you're going to remember, is I remember one time going with my girlfriend, and she went to a shopping, and I said, oh, okay, you know. And all women like to shop, Robert, you know that.
yeah.
You know, they do. They just, or they like to look, anyways, and touch, and ooh, and hold it up to them, you know. Well, you know what I did? I just followed her around. I didn't do anything. Because I wasn't in my own space at all. I was still back where I was before. I don't know, maybe you could help me with that, where I was before. Remember, I was taking care of somebody. He was home. It was really rough for me because he was violent. But besides that, that's what I did 24/7. And then here I am. But I couldn't stand on my own. I couldn't, obviously. You know, I don't know what happened to me. It took me a long time, years, I'm telling you. He passed away 10 years ago. And it wasn't until the last couple of years, now you're going to say, oh, this can't be real, wasn't until the last couple of years that I finally said to my friend, okay, I'll meet you over here, and I took off and went looking around. You know what else I think it was? I felt so alone before that. It was scary for me. That's what I think.
Well, absolutely. I think it's a combination of things. One, when you live with someone and you've been with somebody for so long and you take on the space of a caregiver, most times, or what I would see most often, even within my family and within, you know, the work that I do in counseling and chaplaincy, we forget how to take care of ourselves. So even after our loved one has made a transition, we're lost. Well, what do we do now?
I was lost, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know
how to
act.
And what do we do now? So, and so it makes absolutely, you know, absolute sense that you will walk around with a friend like, okay, I'm out of the house, but I don't know what to do because I haven't been out the house. I've not really enjoyed or had fun for years.
Right.
So what now does fun look like to
you? Right. What now do I do?
Yeah, so it's operating in a new normal.
Yeah, I mean, I love going out, and my son said to me now, when she's my dear friend, when she invites you, you go. She says, because if you don't, she's going to stop asking you. And I said, oh, she wouldn't stop asking. But I said, I get what you're saying. Even if you don't want to go, go. But I don't know, there was a fear. I mean, this is the truth. I would follow her, and I wouldn't, you know, grab anything to look at. We would go to lunch, and that was fine. But this was different, and I knew it right away. But it took me years to get back to the person that I was, I think. I was so absorbed with what I did. And I'm sure it happens to a lot of people, maybe not with somebody like I was with, but maybe even just somebody who's really seriously ill, who can talk and carry on a conversation. See, he could not.
And see, so I'll take you back just a little bit to, you know, when we define self-care. And you gave a prime example of what I was saying. So whatever you need in your most needful space. And so what was taking place was your friend was taking you out. That's, you know, what brought her comfort. That was brought her, you know, enjoyment and fulfillment. But that's not what you needed in your most needful space. So you was forcing yourself to do something for the sake of doing something. And when we talk about self-care, a lot of people go down that rabbit hole of, well, I'll just get out, or I'll just make myself busy, or I'll just get away.
And I'll be
and
better.
And then they you know, coin that as self-care. And I'm saying it's the absolute opposite. No, that's not self-care. That's you making yourself busy. That's you tagging along with a friend. That's you doing something that someone else wants to do. But that's not self-care.
So what should I have done for those who might be in a similar situation?
Well, you know what? It's
an individual thing. You can't tell me that. I know.
And what's the individual thing? But everyone has their own process. And so if I had to imagine and dream it up, what I could say is just giving yourself space in time to say it's okay for me to now care for myself, and then redefining what that looks like for you. So you have to take in effect that you was in a relationship with someone for years, and then you took on that relationship when they was not necessarily verbal or could remember those good times.
Yeah.
So now you have to really sit back and ask yourself, what is it that I like now? At this age, what is it that I like to do without my partner? What's going to make me happy without me having my partner?
Yeah, and it was really, you know, it was tough the whole year and a half or whatever it was. For me, a lot of people really don't have it like I did. I mean, you know, Alzheimer's, as you've probably heard, can take on different kind of forms. Sometimes
yes.
you're really quiet and docile in a chair,
yes.
and sometimes you start throwing people around and you don't know who they are. He knew my
Absolutely.
Son, but he did not know me, and he physically abused me. But I was pretty smart, Robert. The neurologist didn't tell me to do this, but when I saw that he was going to take a run at me, and you could tell in his eyes, because he just didn't know who I was. I was the enemy mm-hmm. as far as he was concerned. I killed his wife. That's what he thought. Well,
mm-hmm.
you don't retaliate. You just protect yourself as best you can, because if you try to do that, they will kill you. There was no
mm-hmm.
doubt in my mind. If I went after him, I would have to make sure he was knocked out, because
mm-hmm.
he was a big man. He was strong. He could box. He was really powerful, and I'm only 5'2", So I
mm-hmm.
played the smart card. I was not going to set myself up, because people would say to me, well, why didn't you get something and hit him? Oh, yeah, if he got up, I would have been dead. I know. I
mm-hmm.
knew that, Robert, and so I used the intelligence that I had, and I responded in the proper way. That's tough, but that's one of the things. And, self-care for me, all I knew was I was alone. I
yes.
didn't have a purpose, right? There was no purpose.
Yes. And so that's one of the chapters in the book where we talk about purpose. And it doesn't only affect people that, go through situations like you, but even people that are in retirement. Let's say
yes.
people that served in the military for 20, 30 years, and then they get out. And they're like, I don't understand, because I was so used to being in charge of soldiers and doing this and doing that and being a leader. And when they're taken out of
– being told what to do and where to go.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're taken out of that environment, it's like, now what do I do? What is my purpose in life?
Mm-hmm.
who am I? And so I talk about all of that in the book, because all of those are very essential pieces to understanding you, understanding your why, understanding your purpose, and how to move forward in understanding all of those new portions of you.
And they are new portions, because obviously, you never experienced it before, and nobody could really, help me. My doctor said, well, why don't you go to a therapist? Then I have to sit there and go from the very beginning. I've went through it. I'm not going through it again. It was awful. When you almost die, you don't want to do it again. And, somebody told me, it was a friend of his, actually, that was his best friend. He called me way after, and he said, I think you probably have a little post-traumatic stress. He said, because you are in the defense. You had to protect yourself all the time. I wish I would have known you then. I probably would have gone through it a little bit easier than what I had to go through. My son had his own family. He's just down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But still, he can't come in and take over with my life. But
right.
And I was too old to get a job, but I had my magazine, and I was just getting ready with Stars Psychics. So,
mm-hmm.
God looks and thought, we're gonna make sure she's busy. And I was busy at that time, too, because I had to concentrate on other things. I had to develop it. I had to, do things for the magazine, which was, became really big. But so I guess, I fumbled around and I figured it out. I don't really know. But it took me up until a few years ago. And I even mentioned something to Vera, my girlfriend. I said, you know what? She said, what? I said, don't you think it's strange that I said, well, I'll meet you over here in an hour? She said, yeah, but I didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm so happy you've reached this point. I don't know what I was afraid of. Somebody grabbing me? No, I wasn't afraid of that. I wasn't afraid of, I don't know what I was afraid of, being alone. My husband was very bossy. So he told me how to put the cord around the vacuum. So you see what kind of life I came from. So I was told what to do all the time. And here I am, I don't have to be told what to do. I can do anything I want. It took me years. Like I said, a couple of years ago, I started to feel much, much better. And I don't think there's anything that I can't do. At least my granddaughter tells me that. I can't swim and I can't skate. But besides that, I'm not afraid. I am not afraid.
Yes, that's awesome. Awesome.
Well, I'm happy to tell you that. You were in the ministry, so you really know about spirituality, and you understand all the phases, and you've probably heard every story out there. Now you can add this to your repertoire. You can say, well, I know a lady who went through this. No, it was true. You see, when you have a dominating spouse and then they're gone, it's like standing in this room and looking around. Where do I go? What do I do?
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm in a good spot right now. You can probably hear it in my voice. I don't.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't get sad. I don't worry. I have a beautiful family. My son is wonderful. I have a great, I have a granddaughter and I have a daughter-in-law and I have my other friend. And the only thing that bothers me is that a lot of times you don't get invited because you're not in their mind. Now, my friend Vera does. I went to her son's 21st birthday party on Saturday. Had a great time and was so nice. So my son said, I'm really glad you went. I said, why? He said, because you need to be around people who also love you besides your family. And he told me that, and it made me feel so good. And, I could have used your book back then. No, you had to wait to write it, right?
Yeah, well, that was a process in itself. I wrote the book. It took me four tries to get it right.
Oh, that's what happens, I think. It's tough, It's not just some short little thing. And you want to tell people the right thing. You don't want to lead them astray. You don't want to give them bad information. So, yeah, it is. Now, I have another question. I think we kind of answered this one. How can you identify the different forms of self-care? Do you ever have to? Or do you just take a client on and sit? How does it work for you when you have a session with somebody? And they know that there's a difficult time for them. They're in a bad space. And I mean, they're alone. And you know it. You already know it. Why do they come to you?
Well, a lot of people come to me for various reasons. A lot of them it's stress. A lot of it is, deals with past hurts and things that they've left uncovered and not really told anybody for years. And so they live with that. I can multiple, tens of hundreds of people who I've had the opportunity to either counsel or minister to or a combination of both. Pretty much all stems from the same thing, childhood. What you grew up, what your culture
you could write a book about
dictate.
Me. how did you turn out so well? I don't know.
and so even when you marry someone, I do a lot of couples counseling. And you know what? It's not necessarily that people don't really love each other. It's that people really don't understand each other. You get into a relationship, society says that, you get into a relationship, you marry them, and then you live, happily ever after. But they don't tell you all of the little idiosyncrasies that happen just for example of how you define certain things, how you define love. I've met with couples, and they've defined love differently. They loved each other differently, and neither one of them could receive the love that the other gave because that's not what love was to them. Making love.
Oh, wow. And how do you know, Robert, how do you know when you meet somebody? I mean, that's why I really don't like the way the world is right now. Men and women that are in their 20s and 30s and whatever age it is, it doesn't really matter. I mean, they have – this idea that, okay, I have to experience everything with them before I get married. And I get that, but the other side of that is, how are you going to know when you love them?
Well, see, I think, you know, that's tricky because, again, people are different. I know people who, you know, fell in love at first sight, and it's worked out and has been working out. Then I've seen people who dated for years, got married, and then it did not work out at all.
So it
depends on the people. But I think there has to, you know, in my work, a lot of times I meet people that's been married 50, 60, 70 years. And I always ask them, I say, well, what's the secret? What was the secret to your marriage? What made it last so long? And, you know, mostly all said it's communication. You know, the second was you have to be willing to not, and I've had a male tell me this. He said, you have to be willing to not be right all the time.
Right.
And I think that hit me because in most arguments and in a lot of relationships, people are fighting to be right. When at the end of the day, after you fought just to say I was right, then how much time, how much space, how much animosity went into just trying to prove that you were right? And so we see a myriad of things that, you know, separates us. And so, you know, getting back to self-care, you know, we've even been trained to what that looks like and what it doesn't look like. See, I was raised where too much, it was a saying, too much idle time is the devil workshop.
Oh, I've heard that, yeah.
And so it was a point to always stay busy. And so I learned that at my youngest age to always stay busy. But guess what? No one ever taught me how to relax. No one taught me how to pause and take time for me. Growing up, it was always said, you know, the early bird gets the worm. So you got to be up earlier than everybody.
Yeah.
Well, if you really want to succeed, you have to work harder than everyone.
Yeah.
Well, if you really, really want to succeed, then you have to be willing to put in the time and work longer than each other. So you have all of these things that inform me to be busy and to work, but nothing to pause, relax, and stop.
Right, and meditate, and don't do anything. You don't have to do anything. Or do something that you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, mine all stems from as a child, because my parents, my dad was wonderful, but he really worked hard. My mother, and this is important for you to know, for some background for you, for maybe if you write another book. My mother was the oldest of 10, and she was determined to make money for herself and do things for herself. I was just an accident. I just came along. And, I mean, I was not abused or anything like that. There was food on the table and everything, but I was not mothered or fathered. I figured it out. So I was alone all the time. So you would think, well, Natalie, you were alone all the time, but yet once your husband passed, you had this fear of being alone. Explain that one to me.
Yeah, well, just because we were alone, I'm the youngest of my siblings as well. My mom and dad had me older in life or later in life. And so my brother is 15 years older and my sister's 14 years older. And so a lot of times I felt alone. And as I grew older, I had an issue with being alone. It made me so uncomfortable. And so it makes sense. Some of the things that just because of where we are in the pecking order doesn't mean that that's how we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. And so when you get older, you know, a lot of people, and I'll even talk about me, I got into relationships that I didn't even really want to be in with the sake of I didn't want to be alone. You know.
Oh yeah. You wanted somebody to fill the space. Uh-huh.
Right. And so how many times in life do we go through life filling voids because of what we did get or what we didn't get? And so you'll see is consistency to what I'm saying. When I say that we have to go back, we have to look at things. A lot of things stem from childhood on our perception of things. So I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. I lost my dad when I was 8. He died at the age of 45.
Wow, that's young.
And I have an uncle who is really not a blood uncle, but he is my uncle through and through. He and my dad was best friends and lived in Canada. And he had told my mother, brother, sister, and I, he said, just bring the family up. And this was after my dad's death. Y'all just need to get away. Come up here. You'll stay with us. We'll take care of you and just have some decompressed time and enjoy yourself. So we go up, and I go to my uncle's house, and he has a pool. He has a room for like a maid's quarters. I thought he had the biggest house in the world. It was a mansion. All I could think about was, like, he has a maid that stays there, and he has this huge pool and all of this stuff. So years later, I was going to Canada, and me and my spouse, and I said, Uncle, we're coming to see you because we're coming to Canada, and I wanna spend some time with you, and I just miss you. And so he gives me the directions. I go, and I'm by the house, and I'm driving up and down the street looking for the house. And so he said, I'll come outside. You're on the street. I'll come outside. So he came outside. And
I know
got
what
us.
Happened, yeah.
And I said, what happened to your big house? He said.
You were little when you were looking at it.
Right, but looking from the vantage point of where I came from, we lived in a little house. A lot of my cousins and uncles and everybody stayed with me. So it was stayed with my family. So it was a tight home. But then when I went there, it was a lot of open space. It wasn't that it was a mansion. It was just bigger than what I experienced. So from a child's point of view, it was a mansion. But looking at it from a grown-up point of view, it was just a really nice house.
That's funny.
And so that's what we do to ourselves. The story that we tell ourselves is what becomes our truth and what becomes our reality and what we think and hold to be true. So if I taught you at your earliest stage that the color blue was green, you would fight your friends and everybody else
tooth and nail,
saying, no, this is what it is. So just think about self-care for a minute. When you don't have an ideal of what it is, when you gleaned the definition from somebody else or you took on what other people use that worked for them, when you try it and it doesn't work for you, then you say self-care, it's a sham. You know, self-care, why try it? It's boring. Self-care, well, people say it a lot, but it doesn't work. And so one of my thoughts or one of my challenges was even through the pandemic, self-care became the buzzword. Oh, you just need to do self-care. You need to do self-care. And now you had people who was off of work at home, had all the time in the world to practice self-care, but no one was telling them what to do or giving them practical tips. Or saying,
that's true.
Hey,
no, you're right. What could they do?
Meaningful?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you had people at home, and they're depressed, they're stressed, they've never been without working. They were so uncomfortable not doing stuff to where it changed their whole life and their world, and people were being depressed and being just stressed out. And so, you know, that's why it was important for me to redefine self-care, because self-care isn't just a bubble bath. It's just not getting your nails done, which is actually grooming yourself, but people put it in the category of self-care. No, that's self-taking care of yourself. and so it's important. It was very, very important to me to dispel the myths of self-care and what people have been told it was versus what it really is.
So if you were to tell somebody about self-care, say they were at home, well, you can use me, but I'm busy now. I don't need that. But what would you tell somebody? You know, like if they came to you and they said, you know, I don't have anything to do. I can't get a job. Mm-hmm. What if they're retired? Those are the mm-hmm. tough ones. That's the tough stuff. Because
well,
those
you
people
know,
are lost.
Well, and again, I speak about it in the book. I don't want to give too much away so people can still read it. But
exactly.
What it is, again, understanding your why and your purpose. A lot of people attach their why and their purpose to what they've done. Even as a
yeah.
caregiver, I've been a caregiver, so that's who I am. That's not who you are. That's what you've done. That's
yeah.
Maybe a profession, but that is not who you are. And so it doesn't define who you are. And that's where we get caught in between, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do with myself now. Well, there's a lot. I'll give you this example. So I was a head of a spiritual care department for 3 hospitals. And I was also the emergency room chaplain. And it was a cold that was going to be coming into the hospital, and that gives us about typically anywhere between 5 to 10 minutes before, you know, whatever the cold is or whatever the trauma is arrives. And so I always checked in on the team, the whole healthcare team that was going to be receiving the patient. And so this time around, I asked people, I said, you know, what was the most beautiful place you've been? So a couple people said, oh, it was Costa Rica. Oh, no, it was Fiji. No, it was this little place in Montana that was just breathtaking. And then one nurse said to me, I don't know because I haven't gotten there yet. I'm going to wait till I'm retired to do that because I have to take care of this and I have to do that and do this. And so I believe it was the pharmacist who said, why would you wait until you're older and not able to really experience certain things in order to actually do the things that you would have loved to enjoy? And I stayed and I was just like, that makes all the sense in the world.
It
now,
did.
From
yeah.
her, from the nurse's viewpoint, she was kind of taught, you know, you work, you take care of your families. Well, my daughter is single, and I got a grandbaby. I have to take care of them and
right.
make
you
sure.
Right, you go back to work the next day. That's all
you know.
And
you go back, and it was no time for her. And after months of her and I talking, and I'm convincing her to, it's okay to take some time for yourself. You earned it. You deserved it. You've done what you're supposed to do. And we talked a lot about boundaries and how to create healthy boundaries. And she went on a vacation for the first time in God knows how long. And she returned and said, I had the time of my life by just getting away. I should have done this years ago. But her thing was, I didn't think that I was able. I thought it was selfish because of how I was raised and then how I was taught. And so unlearning some of these myths that we've been told, those are some of the biggest things. And when you look at culture, I have friends in many various different cultures, Middle Eastern culture, Hispanic or Hispanic culture, where typically, you know, if you're the oldest child, you take care of everyone else. You take care of the rest of the children because the mom is doing one thing, the father is working. And so the oldest sibling is responsible for taking a good portion of the responsibilities of parenting their brothers and sisters. And so at the earliest age, that person don't learn how to take care of them because they've been taking care of everyone else. And so you can see from a cultural standpoint, it even shows up in various places.
Oh yeah. I can understand that. I mean, it's almost like you get in a rut and then you're back out of you're out of the rut. Now where do you go? What do you do? What, you know, but it takes an awful lot from within to be able to step out of that. It really, really does. Obviously, I wasn't ready for it. I mean, I started the radio show. That really helped me. I started the radio show 10 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I didn't start by myself. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. Everybody said, oh, you'll be great. You'll be great. You know, but oh, I'm thinking to myself, oh, I don't know. So I had a co-host for several years, quite a few years, and she passed away suddenly, and I could not do the show for 3 months because, no, I was just sad. It wasn't that I couldn't do it. I just didn't have the heart to do it. She was like a sister. She became like a sister to me. So, but it was really the radio show, I think, that pushed me out. And everybody says to me, well, you realize you talk to people that you don't even know. I don't know you. I mean, I know you now, but you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they'll say, my son will say to me, I couldn't do that. I would him and haw. And he says, you could talk to anybody. I, you know, I have the show page about you, and I have some bullets about your questions, you know. But for the most part, I have to just go fly by the seat of my pants. You know, it's like I'll pull it out of you. I'll pull the. But look at how we've been talking nonstop.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really helped me. I mean, I could talk to anybody. I don't care who they are. I mean, get them on the phone. Probably I couldn't talk on the stage, I don't think. This motivational speaker said, oh, I bet you could. I said, well, maybe. I don't know. But I love talking on the phone to people. I love communicating. And no matter what the topic is, because some books are not, you know, they're not all spiritual. They're not, you know, they're different kinds, people from different walks of life write books. I have a man that's, oh, this is going to be easy. He does children's books. That's great. I won't have a problem with him either. But, you know, it's really funny. And I don't, like I knew you were going to be on, I don't look you up and I don't learn anything about you. That's my style, because I like impromptu. I like, because my brain works at warp speed, and I can ask you the right questions, and we'll be talking away, and we'll look at the time and say, oh, my God, the hour's over. You know, that happens all the time. It's all the time. Okay, so now you have a team that also works on Dimensions Consulting, right? Because I noticed that you have other people that are with you. Now, you are the CEO, so you're the head honcho. it all stops with you, doesn't it?
To some extent.
yeah. But you have several ladies. Yes, very
yes,
pretty
so.
Ladies, too. There you
oh,
are. You're the
you.
First one there. you're a visionary. It says charismatic, yes. You have a very kindness about, nice kindness about you that anybody could
thank
talk
you.
To you. It would be easy. I mean, but then there's me, so I can talk to you for hours probably. Just I'll pull stuff out, you know. And see, I know I did see that you were in the ministry. And I think that's an important thing that people should learn about in your field, because you are helping people. So you need to know an awful lot. Because a lot of people are, oh, they go to church all the time. You have to understand that when you're talking to them. You have to know that that is the ultimate to them.
Well, you know.
Whatever they believe in, right?
Right. And I've been fortunate. What I thought was almost like a curse was actually a blessing. I've had the opportunity to work in multiple areas, and not only just work in multiple areas just to work, but excel in multiple areas. So I've been in education as a teacher. I've been a counselor or academic advisor in the school system, therapist, counseling for private sector. I've done business. I've had my own businesses, ministry. I am licensed and ordained. I am a board certified chaplain. So I've had all of these experiences that allows me in law enforcement, was in law enforcement, also served in the Army as a veteran. I've had all of these experiences that has afforded me the opportunity to speak in certain fields and in certain areas as a subject matter expert, because I've been there and I've known people who have been there, and I've seen the effects in multiple areas across the board, and I've seen burnout. I see what it does. In the very first chapter of the book, I talk about stress and how over 110 million deaths occur each year due to some stress-related ailments. And so I get it. And so trying to help spread the word and help other people understand, you know, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. But what we really need to do is focus on us. And so there's four pillars in the book that I really talk about in terms of self-care, if I could share.
Oh, absolutely.
So part of anyone's self-care journey, I call it the four pillars. The very first thing is to retreat. Sometimes to move away from, you know, everything so that you can be in a place. All the moving parts, even retreat for those who have been isolated, to get out of that isolation. So to retreat from things so that you can have the ability to not be distracted. The very next thing is to reflect. And this is probably the most powerful of the four R's. We don't allow ourselves the time to reflect, to actually sit back and think about what's going well, what changes do we want to make in our lives. A lot of the decisions we make because, one, we have to, we're on a go, or two, because we're distracted. I remember as a kid, I'd tell my mom, mom, I knew exactly when to bug her when she was distracted for me to get my way. And so
exactly.
We don't spend the time, one, to get away, to truly retreat so that we can be open and then reflect on what's working well and what changes, adjustments, or how we should pivot in our life. And then third, what fills our cup? What replenishes us? So the thought R is replenish. After you've adequately retreated, you've reflected on what you need. Now, what fills your cup? And actually the action part of doing it, allowing people to pour into you, allowing yourself to know what fills your cup and you pour into yourself. And the last R is to restore, to move forward, again, an action, and with a new frame of mind and a restored sense of you, of who you are. So restored, a renewed version of you. And you can achieve these things through the four R's. Just those, practicing those four pillars will bring you so much more comfort and so much more understanding of self, and you will know exactly or begin to learn and understand exactly what fills your cup so that you can move to the next stage of your greater.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, you know, but sometimes people just, if they would get your book, they would understand it. I take it it's on Amazon?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can go right to the website and get it. It's www.rwallenbooks.com.
And
so
okay. I don't have that one. I'm going to go to it right now. Okay.
Yeah, go to
www.rwallenbooks.com. I've got your other one, the main one. I don't have the – so what is it?
Well,
it is R what?
R.W. Allen, and Allen is A-L-L-E-N, books.com.
Okay.
And then when you go on rwallenbooks.com, you'll see the journal, the 12-week journal. You'll see the self-care, let's start the conversation. If you hit products, you'll see the T-shirt, which is my favorite. It says, do not disturb self-care mode on. And then there's other products and different things like that on the website. And so if people want an autographed copy, and there's certain extras that come with getting off the website for those who want to get it off the website, certain little extra things that we ensure that people get so that they're happy.
Awesome. You're awesome. I wish I would have known you before, although we have to go through everything ourselves. I mean, somebody can't, you know, kind of lead you Well, you could be led, but I mean, somebody like myself, I've had several people, even an author said to me, you should write about what happened to you. And, you know, I don't think I want to do that, Robert, because that's my first thought is I don't want to do that. I could help people with it. I sure could. But I just think it would bring up stuff for me, and I don't want to go back there again. I'm in a good place right now.
That's absolutely okay. I do think there's a story there. It doesn't necessarily have to be a book. It could be in a point of support group and helping other people through it. So I'll give you this. My mother has been taking care of my cousin who has cerebral palsy and functions on the third grade level for over 20-odd years.
Oh, yes.
And so when you mentioned about your late husband, this is near and dear to my heart because of, you know, what took on with my what in my own family. My mother cared for my stepfather who had cancer and ultimately ended up dying. Then my mom's sister, my aunt, died shortly after. And so my mom assumed the responsibility of taking care of my cousin because she felt a debt to her sister and she wanted to honor her sister in that way. And the family, we've spoke with my mom and said, Mom, you know, Auntie was in the process of getting my cousin placed in a facility because
mm-hmm.
his needs had became so grand.
Yeah.
And my mother refused to place him because of, you know, her feeling that she owes her sister. And so I even worked with it in my own family and saying, Mom, it doesn't make you a bad person to get him placed because you can go volunteer at the place that he's at all day, every day if you wanted to.
That's true.
And so the guilt that we hold on to, and again, it's the story that we tell ourselves that we have to do this. I've had the unique pleasure of being able to, one, be a chaplain, and at another point in life, be a therapist in nursing homes and assisted living places. So I've seen success stories of people who've had dementia and Alzheimer's and had to go to a facility because their loved one just could not care for them anymore.
I worked in a nursing home. I did their hair for probably 6 years.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? But it was so gratifying. I didn't want to leave, but I knew I would know when to leave, and I left. My mother passed away in January, and my father passed away less than 5 months later. I knew that was it. I couldn't do it anymore. That was it. I had given myself to that place. You know, and they would wait for me to get their hair done. It would be down the hall. I mean, it was the sweetest thing. And I handled these big people, you know, but they were so kind to me. Even the nurses said, well, what do? I said, I just treat them really well, you know. You know, I'm not in a position where I have to say, take your pill, do this, do that,
Right.
But you know what? That helped to shape me. I've always been a caregiver of sorts. I didn't know what I was practicing for. But every job I have ever had, it was taken care of, whether it was a tennis club, because that's my background. It didn't matter. I worked at two of them. So it didn't matter. Three of them, actually. It didn't matter. I could handle it. I could do it. And so, you know, sometimes I think, too, Robert, in life, And this is probably true for you, that when you're younger and you start to experience things, that might be grooming you for something bigger and better down the road, but you don't even know about it. You have no clue.
Oh absolutely. That's been my story tenfold over. Again, as I was saying earlier, I didn't desire to have all of these different experiences and work in all of these different places. I just wanted you know, to be the guy who worked at some place for 20-something years and retired. But that wasn't what I was meant to do.
It wasn't in the cards, Robert.
And so I'll be honest, I end up having one of the first things, if you are a therapist, every therapist should have a therapist because you take on the weights of the world and you need someone to be able to decompress with. But that
and
was
you're probably
that
an empath
out.
Too, right?
Yeah, and so that's
of course you have to be
worked
to do something like that. I didn't even know what that was when I was taken care of. I had no clue.
And so I end up speaking with a therapist because I remember I was just so like, I just want to stay put. And she said, that's not what your calling is, to stay put. And then she helped me to realize every place I've went, I've created an impact. And it was an impact on not only the place that I was at, but the people there and the atmosphere and the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was called to do. Is one of my callings. And so I stopped taking it as a curse or something that I dreaded and said, now I have to think of what's my purpose for this place? What am I called to do in this season? And so, again, that keeps me from doing the woe is me. It keeps me from being stuck or stagnant and helps me understand how to rewrite my narrative in the story that I tell myself.
Yeah, and, you know, you'll be able to write more. I'm hoping that you'll write something else. I'm sure you do.
Well, I got a
right?
book coming out in December, next month. I have another book. It's called The Word of the Day. And The Word of the Day is a combination of quotes, scriptures, and just some personal sayings that is for Monday through Friday, 5 days a week for the whole year. So the first volume of Word of the Day will be going out this coming December. I believe the first week in December. It's in its final editing now. And so a lot more writing coming out. There will be a sequel to Let's Start the Conversation. The next book will be Let's Continue the Conversation, Self-Care, yeah. Let's Continue the Conversation.
You're awesome.
Which will be a deeper dive in some more in-depth things. But to all the listeners out there, whoever gets the book, I am telling you right now, the difference in this book being a good book with good information and a transformative book is if at the end of each chapter is something called the reflective pause. I challenge and charge each and every person to go in and actually at the end of chapter and do the reflective pause and actually spend time and be transparent with yourself. And you will find the book to be
like
more
exercise,
than a good
right?
book.
Kind of?
Well, no, it just asks you some deep questions about you, not about anybody else. It helps people get to the reflective piece that I said that we skip so often. You know, we skim through things. It was funny. I had a reader read it, and they said it was a good book. And I went back and said, did you do the reflective pause? They said, no, I just kind of skipped those. And I challenged them to go back. I said, I'll give you the book free of charge. Just go back and do the reflective pauses. They came back in tears because they said, I never knew myself that well. I didn't know all the things that I was hiding.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know all the things that I suppressed. And for them, the book became transformational because they took the time to actually do the reflective pauses at each chapter, at the end of each chapter. So I encourage everyone, if you get the book, please get the book, first off, and please ensure you do the reflective pauses at the end of each chapter. It will make all the difference in the world.
It'll help for you to understand yourself a lot better, sounds like to me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that is Let's Start the Conversation by Robert W. Allen, and then there's a self-care, the 12-week journal. Now, does that come together, or are those two separate books?
They're two separate books. So it's Self-Care, Let's Start the Conversation, and then Self-Care, Let's Start the Conversation, 12-week journal.
Okay. Well, it sounds like the journal would be important too, but it's going to make you. I mean, do you actually write in the journal, or is?
Yep. No. So you actually write in the journal, and so basically, after you learn the principles after reading the book, the 12 weeks is to keep you consistent on journaling and tracking and reflecting, And so there's one chapter in the book that's about habits and how we form good habits, bad habits, and all of those things.
Oh,
and
everybody does that, don't they?
And so this gets you in a habit of practicing self-care.
We all have bad
and
habits.
So, absolutely.
I procrastinate.
And so for all of
you wouldn't think I would, Robert, but I do.
No, I get it. But for all your listeners, if they put in a promo code BND, and that's D as in dog, N as in Nancy, D as in dog, they will get a 10 to 15% discount off the book or any products that they buy off the website. And that's for all of your listeners who listen.
That would be great. And, you know, this is recorded, so it'll go out. I'll tweet it.
Okay.
And then also, and I'll put that in my little notes because I have notes that I have to – you know, I put in these little notes. I just do that. Like I'll say, oh, you got to listen to this one or whatever. And I'm not allowed. I do it anyhow, whether I'm allowed or not. Nobody stop me. So I do that, and I will put something there so that they know. And Candy, she'll push it out. She does a really good job. She'll probably put it in my Instagram. And and my other gal does it in Pinterest, and she does this really nice pin. And I'm really getting involved with Pinterest. I never realized how great it was, but it's helping my business, believe it or not, because it's my name is getting out there, and people that didn't even know I existed. I mean, you know, you don't realize. I mean, it's like you need 20 people on a team to promote you. You know what I'm saying? It's like unreal.
Yeah.
And it really is. I mean, now if you're famous, then you don't have to worry. I mean, people are already hired, and you're a name, and you just show up and all that. But I'm so glad I ventured into that arena. I call it an arena, and because it's important. It's important, and I follow. I feed deer at night. I just put all the deer food out. And I do that too. And I follow these sanctuaries and for the fawns, and I communicate with them, and they write back, and one I donated to. And I just love helping everybody that I can. If I could help the world, and I talk to God every day about this, Robert, I would. There'd be no doubt in my mind. I mean, I do it now. So. But somebody told me that it's like you've got steps higher when you pass on, when it's time to go, you're already there, he said to me last week. And I said, really? He said, oh, yeah, you are. I'm certain of it. I said, well, thank you very much. Do I stop now? He said, no, keep going. I was teasing him. I said, well, I'm not going to stop. I mean, you know, I love what I do. I mean, I really do. And I so loved having you on the show. It was wonderful.
Oh, well,
you see, we didn't
thank
have a
you
pause.
For having me.
We did not stop talking, Robert.
Well, you know, I thank you so much for having me on. If there's anything that I can ever do for you, please don't hesitate.
Yeah,
I'm
I got your
you.
Email address now.
And so what they did, what Arden did, so if you go on the website, like if you're on the New Dimension side, if you click on the self-care, it'll take you to the R.W. Allen books. And so if you're on the R.W. Allen.
Okay, where do I go for that now?
If you're on the New Dimension site, where it says self-care, if you go down and it'll say self-care, we do self-care retreats. And
I got home, about, services.
No, actually, when you go down to services. Well, click on services.
Okay. And then, oh, yes, it's going. There it is. all of a sudden. Flew down, yes.
And,
okay, gotcha. And
then
it'll take
you
to your books.
That, it'll take you to the R.W. Allen book site, and then it works the same way. If you go on the R.W. Allen book site and you go for trainings, it'll take you to the New Dimension website.
I see.
So it's all in one.
You don't even have to worry.
Right, so we kind of created that. You know who John Maxwell is, correct?
I've heard the name.
Okay, so John Maxwell is, you know, the guru of
leadership trainings and all of this stuff, but he also has a foundation in ministry. So, I mean, he's probably one of the richest people who do it. But what he did was he created all of his content. So he has like 20 books and curriculums and everything like that. So if you go on johnmaxwell.com, you'll see his author site, and then it'll take you over, and then you click on it, then it'll take you over to his business training site. So that's what a lot of people are doing nowadays. They're creating their own curriculum, and they have a training portion, and then it'll go back and forth between, if you just want books, you can go to R.W. Allen Books, and then it'll also showcase trainings. But if you just want consulting and business stuff, then you can just go to the consulting, but then you can also pick, you know, curriculum, and so they work back and forth.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, my friend, she works on the site, but she said, he's nice. I love his voice. Good show. She comments
well,
all the time. Oh, good show. Boy, you can really talk. She'll tell me, how do you talk so much? I don't know. Yeah. But I love it. And I'm so happy. Again, loved having you. Love talking. And you do have a nice voice. It's very soothing and very calming.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well,
I appreciate you.
Yeah. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. I made another friend.
Yes, you did. And if you need me, you have all my information.
I have your email address. I'll get you. I always tell people that. If I have your email address, it's all over. Yeah. You know what I would like to do, Robert, while I've got you on the phone, is I would like to put something in the December issue about what you do. I'll write you. I'll email you. It can be a little excerpt that you can send me. It could be something that an article you've already written, just something about you. I think people need to know about you. I think it's important.
Okay.
It's very important.
You know what? If you do me a favor, do you have like 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. If you can go back to the R.W. Allen Books website.
Oh, and I got to write. I put that in. Tell me that again.
R.W. Allen Books. .com. I'd rather everybody go to that site.
Yeah, Allen. R.W. Allen Book. Book.com?
No, R.W. Allen Books. Books is plural.
Oh, books.com.
Now, if you, once you're there.
Oh, I'm waiting. Come on. I have 3 monitors. It's never this slow. Can you imagine? I'm this little woman. I sit in front of 3 monitors. Okay, I'm there. It's got a keyboard. Oh, there's a keyboard.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you scroll down.
Okay.
Those were some of the shows that I was on, if you pass that part. But if you go down, there would be little click buttons. And
click here for
like,
e-books.
No, go down. Keep going.
Further. Oh, okay. See, I'm trying to be ahead of you. There you are. Okay. Media.
Uh-huh. And then it'll
further
have.
No. Nope. News and events.
If you look in right there, it should be click buttons of all the shows and articles that I've been on or what I've written.
Yes. I see them.
Yep.
Authority Magazine,
yep.
Startup Nation, all of them. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so if you just wanted to get familiar with some of those, but yes, send me an email. I'll send you whatever you need. I'll have it for you same day.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I know. You're very prompt. That's because you're professional. But, you know, that's what I deal with. That people say to me, well, how do people send you this stuff? I have a poet from Japan, a young lady, she's probably only in her 20s, late 20s maybe, and she writes very broken, but she doesn't know that I have a Japanese man that writes to me and a Chinese man. So talk about finagling the Chinese man. It took me a while to understand, and then I figured him out. But she told me, I said, how did you hear about me? She says, well, I heard that you take poetry from foreign poets. Isn't that something? Who would not take it? Why? What's it got to do with where you are? Doesn't matter to me. Okay, so I will write to you, but I could take any one of these articles because I have a recording that you're giving me permission.
Yeah.
Or, okay, cool.
Or I can write whatever you need. I will make sure you have it.
Yeah, because I really think this is important, this whole thing, self-care, because people are like unraveling. They're still having problems. They're still struggling. You and I are nice to everybody. We'll say, hello, how are you today? Have a good day. I do that to everybody. But there are people out there that they need some lessons is what they need, because they don't understand. You know, this reflects back to you. It makes you a better person. And I kind of like to think that you got little points going for you, you know, and the divine watches all this. Somebody's keeping track. Trust me, you're not in this alone. And well, you should know that from your ministry. You know that. And so I think they really need this. They really need to read your work. They really do. And they do read my magazine all the time. As a matter of fact, we're working on this girl that's doing my other stuff. We're setting up a flip magazine so that you can turn the pages. You've seen some of those. Not everybody does that. And I'll be able to take ads and promote people and classifieds and whole page ad, half a page ad, quarter ad, all of that kind of stuff, and sell. And you know I could sell. I can sell anything, probably.
Good.
When I worked in the tennis club, a man called me and I had to get his money for his permanent court time, and he said, "I'll do it." And I said, "Well, gee, that was easy." And he said, "Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you ever want to make six figures," this was like 20-some years ago, he said, "call me." He said, "because you could sell an empty paper bag." And he told me that, and I thought, okay. But I could. I said, but only if I loved what I was selling. That's the catch. I couldn't just sell anything, you know. But I will write to you, and thank you. You're wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I'll be looking for your email.
Oh, you better, because it's going to come tomorrow.
Okay, I'll be waiting.
You're on my list. You're in my MLT folder here.
All right.
So I will.
Thank you.
I will. Okay, thank you. Have a great evening, Robert, okay?
You as well.
Okay, everybody, as I always end the show, and that is, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. The magazine will be coming out on December 1st. It looks to be like a pretty big one. And, you know, I always love that. And I'm working in midnight hours at warp speed trying to, you know, I put it up sometimes 2 days before. And I really should probably do it 3 days before because, you know, I put in links and I have to check all the links and all of that. Everybody knows. You just go to it and you can see mysticlivingtoday.com. And then, of course, my stars. Stars is all of them. I interviewed them, and they're a wonderful group. We're like family. You know, I'll get IMs, and, you know, somebody said to me last week, "I don't get to talk to you very often." I said, "Well, Skype me. We can talk." And so it's really, it's a family atmosphere. You're not going to be mistreated, because I take care of all the personal stuff. If you have, you know, the customer care stuff, all of that, I take care of it. And, we don't rip you off. And right now we have the first 3 minutes are free, and then you can get a special after that, 10 minutes for $10, 20 minutes for $20, and 30 minutes for $30. And that's a one-time deal. You can use one of those one time after your free 3 minutes. And, you know, we have memberships, but the new site, I think you're going to love. It's going to have a lot better things on it. Interaction, we're going to have some interaction stuff there, and you're going to see little things from me. And I think what I'm going to do, and I thought about this today, is I'm going to do a little recording when the new site is up to welcome people. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I don't like to read when I talk, so I'll probably just talk. I'll have little bullets that I'll go through. And Jackie, who does all that for me, she'll take care of it. Don't forget to talk about this. Don't forget to talk about that, you know. And so I'll do that, I think. I think that's what I'm going to do. And, of course, I have more guests. Now, this Friday, from 12 to probably 1:30, 2 o'clock, Jackie and I, Jackie's an astrologer, and that's how I started, we're going to be talking about signature signs and other things. And we'll take questions, and Candy's going to put that out and put that out so that everybody, you can call in and ask us questions about your sign. Jackie will have her take on it, and then I'll have my take on it. She's more the factual astrologer. I'm more like, because that's how I started, I don't get things like, well, this is squaring this and this is that. Everybody I ever read for, they want to know when, how, and where. That's it. Just tell me. They don't care about all the little notions that you add with it, the plus, you know, like squares and trines and all of that. So it's going to be interesting because we both agree on a lot of things, and she sees things one way, and I see things another way, and I'll, you know, like, for example, in Aries, you know, oh, they're very independent, and I would say, oh, tell me about it. My godchild is an Aries, you know, and I would say something like, well, they start things, but they rarely finish. That's what they do. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be kind of nice. And I'm going to be adding some other kind of things for the radio so that you can call in and interact with. I might have some of my readers on. I don't know. I'm trying to get some people that are not real famous, but more so, you know, that, I don't know, a lot of these people are bestsellers, and, you know, and I get all kinds of people. I'm going to try to get Billy Dodson on. He's the wildlife photographer, and if you go a year ago, last October and the October before issue in Mystic Living Today, you're going to see all of his beautiful work that he did. He took pictures in Africa. But the thing about him, what he did was, is he sent me all of the photos. They weren't copies. They were photos. Can you imagine that? I mean, I was so in awe that he would really do that for me. Oh, he says, well, I'm not going to send you your copies. They are not as good. Okay. So, anyways, okay. Now, I'm going to let everybody go for the evening. Have a great evening. Please be safe now and be kind to everybody. You know, just really be sweet to everybody. It's a great world. It's a beautiful world. Look out. Look outside. See, you'll see. I fed my deer there. I had a cat eating the deer food. Can you imagine that? But no, I'm not going to start feeding the cat because then I have this cat all the time. But I give them apples and I cut up carrots. And no, I don't peel the apples. I just cut them up in small pieces. And I have it's called a blink camera sitting out there. And so that I can see them because they don't come during the day. And I have one of them is called Willow, the female, the alpha, and the other one is Lily, and they all have their other little ones, and then I have a male, I call him Maximus, and if you go on my Instagram, you'll see how big his antlers are. I mean, this deer is mammoth, and that's why I call him Maximus. But anyways, I'm going to let you go. I could talk another hour. Anyways, remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there, and with that, I will say good night, everybody. See you Friday.